We're holding on page, well, I have it as page Paytas. Seems like in other editions it might be different. Middle of Oiskofchof Gimel. I guess the best way to say it is it's opposite page 192. So hopefully it can be identified. It seems like the page numbering is a little bit messed up in the edition of ENIAC I'm using. The paragraph begins Shaul Ben Doma. So we're still in the middle of talking about things involving dreams. We just went through the whole story of Abaye and Rava and their dreams and Barhedio, the interpreter. So now further on that topic, the Gemara continues. Shaul Ben Doma Ben Achoisesh Rabbi Shmuel as Rabbi Shmuel. Ben Doma, the nephew of Rabbi Shmuel, and we find him here and there in Gemaras and Medrashim. He was, as we're saying, he was a nephew of Rabbi Shmuel. He was also a distinguished Talmid Chacham. There's a Gemara, for example, where he asked Rabbi Shmuel, "I've learned the whole Torah. Is there any time during the day when I'd be allowed to learn Chochmas Yevonis, Greek wisdom?" And Rabbi Shmuel tells him, listen, it says Vargista by Yom Valaila. So if you can find a time which is neither Yom nor Laila, then you can learn Chochmas Yevonis. And in other words, there isn't really much of a heter to learn. In any case, we see that this Ben Doma was a distinguished Talmid Chacham. So he asks Rabbi Shmuel, his uncle, Ro'isi Shnei L'choyai Shenoshu. I had a dream where I saw that my two jaws fell off. So what does that mean? Omar, so Rabbi Shmuel tells him, Shnei G'dudei Roimi Yotzu Alach Ra means that two Roman ministers, G'dudei literally means like troops of armies, like we have in last week's parish of God, G'dud Yigudenu. But here, Bapashtus, it doesn't mean the entire troop. Bapashtus, it means the leaders of the troops. Anyway, Yotzu Alach Ra, they were coming up with bad advice against you, Umesu, but now they're dead. So in other words, the jaws represent, they were talking, they were discussing with each other how to harm you, and now they're dead and you're safe from them. Another one, Omale Bakapara la Rebbe, Ro'isi Choit Mishenosha. Bakapara, one of the Talmidim of Rebbe, says to Rebbe, "I saw in a dream that my nose fell off." So what does that symbolize? Omale, so Rebbe tells him, Charoin Af Nisalek Mimcha. Means the anger of Hashem has been removed from you. In other words, we have the very word haroin af itself. The word af means the nose, and Rashi mentions over here and in a number of places in Chumash that is why anger is called af, because when a person is angry, you notice in his nose, you notice that he starts snorting with his nose much stronger than usual. So therefore, the nose falling off represents that haroin af, that Hashem's anger is gone from him. Another one, Amalei, Ra'isi Beis Yadei Shenechtechu. I saw in a dream that my two hands were chopped off. What does that mean? Amalei, so Rebbe tells him it means Lo Tipstarech L'Maisi Yadecha. You won't need the work of your hands. In other words, you won't need to work for a living. You'll have your parnasa directly milamaila without you having to make a keli for it. Another one. Another one that Bakapara tells him, I saw my two feet were chopped off in a dream. What does that symbolize? Amalei, so Rebbe tells him, means you're going to be able to ride on a horse. In other words, you're so to speak, you're not going to have to walk around on your own two feet. You'll be able to ride on a horse like important rich people and ministers and whatnot do. And he says another one, Chazoi de Amrili, Rabbi Bakapara says, I saw in a dream where I was told, Ba'odr Misses, you're going to die in Odr, V'nissen lechazis, and you won't see Nissen. So on the face of it, that sounds like a terribly negative thing. It means that, means he's going to die very shortly in Odr. Amalei, but Rebbe tells him that's not what it means. Be'idrusa misas means that the word Adar is not just the name of a month. It also means glory, like the word Hodar in Hebrew. The Aramaic equivalent is Adar. So you'll die when you do die. It doesn't mean anytime soon, but when you do, you'll die with covered in Hodar, with honor and glory. You won't come to Nisayan. The word Nisan is related to the word Nisayan. So in other words, you're being told Minashamayim that you're going to you'll live out your life, and you'll when you pass away, it will be with glory and with Hashivos. In fact, the Rashash says a little bit differently. He says, now Rashi is saying the word misas, taka means tomus, taka means you'll die. So in other words, it is saying eventually you're going to die, but it will be becovered, or it will be behodder or becovered. The Rashash points out that maybe even the word misas might also conceivably be related to the word osa in Aramaic. So it means you will come. It means you will come. You won't even, not even a matter of when he's going to die. It means that you'll come throughout your life with chashivos and with glory, and never have to worry about nisyonis. Okay. So those were all Bakapora's dreams. Now, on the other hand, we're going to have a bunch of dreams that a min says to Rabbi Shmuel. Now, it could be a min, it could be a tzduki, it could be a goy, although there's one thing later on, we have one of the things Rabbi Shmuel tells him later, which seems to imply that he was a yid, because we're going to have something later that he divorced two wives without a get, which wouldn't be relevant for a goy. So the pashtus, the guy is a yid, but he's a min, so he came to Rabbi Shmuel with various dreams of his. So he says to Rabbi Shmuel, Ra'isi shani mashke shemen lazesin. I saw in a dream that I am giving that I'm giving olives oil to drink. So what does that symbolize? All oil comes from olives. Omale. So Rabbi Shmuel tells him it means baal imay. It means that you, the min or the tzuki or whatever, previously were mizana with your mother. And therefore, so that's represented by, so to speak, like the oil comes from the olive. The oil is like the child of the olive, and you're feeding it to the olives, representing, in other words, that you are mezana with your own mother. A number of the dreams that we have over here, some of the ones that it says that Ben Doma says to Rabbi Shmuel, some of the ones that Bar Kappara says to Rebbe, and now the ones that this Min says to Rabbi Shmuel, there's a bunch of them actually where you have them also. There's Yerushalmi and Maaseh Sheni that mentions a bunch of them with a somewhat different Loshen. There's a Medrash and Eicha Rabba that mentions a bunch of them with many of the ones that it mentions there in the Yerushalmi and in Eicha Rabba. You have an expression every time this min comes, every time this min or tzduki or whatever comes to Rabbi Shmuel with these dreams. Rabbi Shmuel, before he gives him the answer, he says, "Tipach ruche dahu gavra." The ruach of that person should be disappointed and deserves to be blown up. And now I'll tell you what the dream actually means. So like every time he first introduces it with a curse, like you don't even deserve to hear the actual explanation, but I'll tell you anyway. Another one, Amalei chazoy de kotifli koichla. He says, I saw in a dream that I grabbed a star. Omalei, so Rabbi Shmuel tells him, Bal Yisrael Ganavta means you kidnapped a yid. The yidin are compared to the stars. All over Chumash Bereishis, you have a Shem Tzal with others that their descendants will be like the stars. So therefore, you grabbing a star represents that you kidnapped a yid. Omalei, then he says another one, Chazoy de Blaitil Kechava. I saw in a dream that I swallowed a star. So what does that mean? I didn't eat a yid. Omalei, so Rabbi Shmuel tells him, Bar Yisrael Zavante, it means not only did you kidnap a yid, but Achalta Ledame, you actually consumed the money of it. In other words, you didn't just put away the money in your savings account or something. You actually spent that money on yourself. So therefore, that's represented by you eating a star. In fact, that Medrash, that, or not that Medrash, the Yerushalmi, actually, that tells the story, has it in a different Lashon. It says where Rabbi Shmuel curses him out and says, you killed a yid. That the swallowing a star is represents that you killed the yid. Omalei, another time, the min says to Rabbi Shmuel, Chazoy ena genashkan ahadodi. I saw my eyes kissing each other. Omalei, so Rabbi Shmuel tells him, Baal achoisei means you were mezana with your sister. So like a brother and sister, or like two eyes, one next to the other. And therefore it represents that you were mezana with your own sister. Omalei chazoy denashki siara. Then he says, I had a dream where I kissed the moon. Omalei, so the Shmuel tells him, Baal Eishes Yisrael means you were mezana with a married Jewish woman. With a married Jewish woman. The woman to her husband is a makabel to Mashpia. So therefore, the husband is like the sun. The wife is like the moon. So you kissing, and we have also in Yosef's dream, we have that he saw the sun and the moon and the stars are bowing to him. And we said the moon represents Rachel, or she had passed away already, so maybe it represents Bilhah. So we see that the moon represents a Jewish woman. So now this is what he says, this is what it means. Omalei, then the min says, Chazoi de derichna betuna de osa. I saw that I was walking through the shade cast by Hadassim. There was a place where there were Hadassim bushes, and I was walking through that area, and I saw that I was walking in the shade of it. So Rabbi Shmuel tells him, means that you were Mizana with a Naira Hamayrosa. So a Naira, we know, is a girl during the 6 months after she develops Shteis Iris. Moirosa is, they've done Erosin, but not yet Nisuin. The way they used to do it in those times, we find in a Mishnah in Ksubas and in other places, they used to make for a girl, for a Naira who's getting married for the first time, they would make her a chuppah out of Hadassim. So therefore, him stepping into that chuppah and stepping into the shadow of it represents that he's interfering with the chosen and kala who are supposed to be getting married under the shade of Hadassim. Omerlei, then the guy says, Chazoi tuna mi'iloi vahu mitatoi. Actually, a detail in that is, or maybe it was the same dream, maybe it was a same dream, and he's saying a detail within that dream, maybe he's saying that he had a different dream another time. Anyway, I saw that the shadow was above me, and I was below it. In other words, not like the shadow was on the ground, and I'm walking through the shadow, but rather that the Hadassim were above me, and I'm walking through their shadow. Amalei, so Rabbi Shmuel tells him, it means Mishkav Chahofu. Means when you were Mizana with that Naira Hamayrosa, it was upside down. Usually the man would be above and the woman would be below. You did it the other way around, and that's symbolized in your dream by that you saw the shadow above you where you would expect to see it below you. Now, I mean, you could say, you know, with all these things, it might be that the idea is that, you know, given we said before, dreams are meant to be a message from the Eivishter to a person. Maybe Takta, the Eivishter, was giving this person over and over the chance to see in his dream and for Rabbi Shmuel to explain him what he did wrong so he should do tshuva. Maybe he took advantage. Maybe he didn't. We don't know. Anyway, Amalek Chazoi Uve Dehadri Lepuye. Then the guy says, I saw in my dream that there were ravens flying around my bed. So he tells him, Ishtecha Zinsama Noshem Habe, that represents that your wife was Mizana with many men. So in other words, the raven Bechlal, the raven is a symbol of Znus. But in the Teva, the raven was one of the only three creatures that had relations in the Teva when they weren't supposed to. So a raven, therefore, is a symbol of Znus. And therefore, so ravens surrounding your bed represents that there are men being mizana with your wife. Omalei chazya yoyna dehadri lepuye. Then the guy says, I saw that there were doves flying around my bed. So what do the doves represent? Omalei, so he tells him, noshim habi timesa, means you were matame many women. So in other words, again, you know, we had before in Rava's dreams, for example, when he saw two doves flying, away, And Barhedia told him it meant you're going to end up divorcing two wives. So the same way over here, the doves flying around the bed represents many Jewish women that you were matame by being mizana with them. Then he says, Chazoi de noket trein yoni uparchan. Then he says, I saw in my dream that I was holding on to two birds and they're trying to fly away. Omalei, so Rabbi Shmuel tells him, means tauti noshi nasras uptautinun bleget. Means you married two wives and you sent them away without a get. So they're, so to speak, like imagine you have a bird who's desperately trying to escape your grasp and you're holding on to it and preventing it from going. The same way, these women would very much like to be able to get on with their lives, but you didn't give them a get and therefore they're agunas and they're stuck. So you're seeing that in your dream. Omalei, then the guy says another thing, Chazoi de Kalifna Bey. I saw in my dream that I'm peeling eggs, that I'm shelling eggs. Omalei, so Rabbi Shmuel tells him, means shachli kamashalchas, means you're stripping off the clothing off dead people in order to reuse or resell or whatever the clothing. So the mason themselves are represented by eggs. We know that the Suda Savra, you give a person wound things that have no opening, and one of the things that you give sometimes on that occasion, Taka, is eggs, because they're round or oval and they have no openings. So therefore, so eggs represents dead people, and taking off the peels, taking off the shells off the eggs represents that you're taking clothes off dead people. Omale, so the Min says to the Bishmol, Kulu Isnubi, everything that you've said so far is true. Itaka was Mizana with all these women that you mention, and my wife was Mizana, and so on and so forth. Bar Meha Delese, with the exception of that one, I never took off clothing off dead people. But Adahochi Vahochi, Asi, Hai Itza, as they were talking, a woman came along, but Omrele, and she says to this mean, Hai Glimmer de Machasa, this coat that you're wearing, de Gavra Ploini, who, that actually belonged to Ploini, the miss who died, Vashlachte, and you stripped it off him. So now the guy was exposed as a liar, that in fact he did do that as well, not just all the other things that he admitted to, but even that. Omerle, then last of all, the Min says to Rabbi Shmuel, Chazoi de Amrili, I saw in my dream where I was told, Shobak loch avuch nichted Kapudkia. Your father left you property in Kapudkia. Kapudkia is a name of a place. It's mentioned here and there in Shas. Nowadays it's in Turkey. So I had a dream that I was told where that my father left me nechosim in that place in Kapudkia. So Rabbi Shmuel says, okay, let's figure it out. Isloch nichsib kapudkia, do you in fact have nechosim in that part of the world? Omele lav, so he says no. He asks him, ozel avuch kapudkia, did your father ever go to kapudkia when he was alive, that maybe he could conceivably have had nechosim there and now left them as an inheritance for you? Omele lav. So again, the Min says, no, my father was never in kapudkia. In Cain, so Rabbi Shmuel says, in that case, I understand what's going on over here. The word kapudkia in your dream is actually a remez. The word kappa, you break down the word kapudkia into two parts. The word kappa means a beam. Kappa means kshura. Is a word that means, Rashi explains in the Persian and the Greek languages, the word for beam is kappa. And dika asara. And the word dika is Greek for 10, like you have in English, for example, decimal and decade and many other words like that that begin with D-E-C. All of them come from a Greek root or a Latin root that means 10. So therefore, so kapudkia then breaks down to kappa dika, the 10th beam. So Rabbi Shmuel tells him, Zil chozi kappa deresh chasara. So go look, find the beam that's at the beginning of a unit of 10 beams in your house. Shim malaya zuz, and you'll find that it's full of money. Sure enough, ozel ashkach shim malaya zuzi, and sure enough, this guy went and found that it was full of coins. The pastorist, I guess you could say, considering all the things he did, this was the Eibishter giving him a schar in this world, so he doesn't have anything left for Olam Haba. Maybe you could say, maybe the flow of the story is, the Eibishter gave him all these dreams in order to motivate him to do tshuva, let him realize what horrible things he's done, and do tshuva. And all he is okay, I did these things, big deal. So finally, he has a dream, we're fine, the Eibishter is going to give him a schar and be potter from him. In that Medrash, in Medrash Eicha Rabba, when it tells the story, and it says it somewhat differently. It says that this guy came with a dream, and there it mentions that Rabbi Shmuel also darshened the word kapudkia and broke it down, but there he actually broke it down differently. He pointed out the word kappa, so you have in the Greek alphabet, the letter kappa is the equivalent of chof in Lashon Kodesh, and it represented, they use the Greek letters as numbers the same way as we use the letters of the alphabet for numbers, the same way the Greeks use their letters for numbers as well. So just like in our system, chof represents 20, in their system, kappa also represented 20. So Rabbi Shmuel breaks it down, the kappa represents 20, and dukia is the word for beam. So then it comes out at the 20th beam. And then the Medrash says, so the guy asks Rabbi Shmuel, I don't have 20 beams in my house. So Rabbi Shmuel tells him you have to count back and forth. You start counting till you reach as far as the number of beams you have, then start counting in the other direction from there. And when you reach the 20th one, you'll find the coins in it. Interestingly, there's a Rishima from the Rebbe where he talks about the main focus of that Rishima is Gemara in Shabbos, which we'll get to in a few months, Bez Hashem, talking about a din in Hilchas Mila, where we know that if a baby is too red or too yellow or what have you, then you don't mal him. You have to wait until he's stronger. And the Gemara tells a story in this connection where Rav Nosson one time visited Taputkia and found a baby like that and told the mother to delay the bris. So the Rebbe Darshan's over there in Rishimis, Chof Vav, the Rebbe talks about the deeper idea behind it. Is we find in a Mishnah at the end of Ksubas, it mentions that the money, the coins in Kapurkia are heavier than the corresponding coins in Eretz Yisrael. So that you have, for example, if you have a Sela in Eretz Yisrael versus a Sela from Kapurkia, or a Zuz versus a Zuz, the one of Kapurkia is going to weigh more. So in Avodah, therefore, that represents that Kapurkia represents people who are on a higher level of closeness to Elikus and completion of their Avodah than even the ones in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, so the Rebbe explains then that the word kaputkia in our Gemara, then we're breaking it down, that the word kaputkia means 10 beams. So representing, in other words, that the person has all 10 koichas and nefesh are revealed within him, which is a very good thing. And then the Medrash goes even further. The Medrash, which unlike the Gemara, which deals mostly with Nigla, the Medrash is more the secrets of Torah. Therefore, in the Medrash, he instead explains that Kaputkia represents 20 beams, because you have to consider in a person's makeup, you have not only the 10 koichas and gluyim, you also have 10 koichas nistarim corresponding to them, and therefore the Medrash speaks of 20 beams rather than our Gemara speaks of 10. That's the Rebbe explains that in the Sushima. Okay. Gemara continues. Now let's talk about a bunch of things which, if a person sees them in a dream, are a good sign for him. Amar Rav Chanina, Horoya Be'er B'chaloyim, a person sees a well in a dream, Roya Shalom means he's seeing that he'll have peace. It's a simen min ha-shamayim that he's going to have peace. Shenema V'yachbaru Avde Yitzchok B'nachal. As we find by Yitzchak, that it says that his servants dug a well in the valley. By Yimsil Shom Be'er Mayim Chaim, and they found there a spring of fresh water. And the point is that, now how does that relate to Shalom? So Marsha explains, in the Psukim you have over there, that they fought over it at first, but then eventually he had the well, that V'loi Rovu Aleha, you have they dug the well Rechovos, that they didn't argue over it. So therefore, that represents that he's found Shalom, just like Yitzchak eventually found Shalom as a result of his wells. In fact, there is a different girsa that the Gemara brings over here instead of the pasuk Vayachbaru Avde Yitzchak Banochal, but a couple of sukkim later, where it says Vayachbaru Be'er Acheres V'lei Rovu Aleho, that they dug another well and nobody argued over that. Okay. Rav Nosson Oma Motzav Torah. Rav Nosson says another point when a person sees a well in a dream, it represents that he's going to achieve Torah. So he's going to achieve Torah because Torah is compared to water. Shenemaki motzi motzachayim, because the pasuk describes Torah, where the one who finds me has found life. Ochtivacha be'er mayim chayim, and here we're describing a well of living water. So we see that there's a connection between them. Marsha points out, now there are lots of things that are compared to water, but we're saying that he sees a well of Mayim Chayim, and Torah is the only thing that's compared to both water and life. Therefore that means that he's achieving Torah, says Rav Nosson. Rava Alma Chayim Mamash, Rava says it means that he's actually found life, because Marashah says, because the fact of the matter is that a person's life depends on water. You can't live without water, so therefore, when he sees a well with water, then of living water, then it means that he's achieving Poshet physical life. Okay. And the Gemara continues, Amar Rav Chanan, Sholosh Shloimus Tehin. There are three things. Now, we just said that if a person sees a well in a dream, then it represents Shalom. So now we're going to mention a few other things that when a person sees them in a dream, represent peace, represent Shalom as well. Sholosh Shloimus Tehin, Nahar, Sipar Ukdeva, a river, a bird, and a pot. Each one of them is associated with Shalom and a pasuk. Nahar dichtiv hinini note aleach nahar Shalom. A pasuk, it's an aftorah of Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, says Hashem says I will incline towards the Jewish people like a river of peace. So in other words, when a person sees a river, then it's associated with that pasuk that has to do with peace. Sipur, dichtiv kitziporim offers ken yogin Hashem tzvakos. A pasuk says, like birds that fly, so Hashem will protect the Jewish people. This is talking about at the time when Sancheiriv was attacking Yerushalayim, and then Malachim came and wiped out Sancheirav's whole army. So the Malachim came flying. They were like birds. But we see, in other words, that there's a connection between a bird and Shalom. And Kedera, Dichtiv, Hashem Tishpos Shalom Lanu, as the Pasuk says, the same Navi, Yeshaya, says, Hashem, may you set up Shalom for us. The word Tishpos, the Shodesh, Shin Fei Sof, refers specifically to the action of putting a pot on the fire and getting it ready for cooking. So therefore, when the Pasuk says, Hashem Tishpos Shalom Lanu, Hashem, may you set up Shalom for us, then in other words, the metaphor is that we're saying that setting a pot on the fire symbolizes Shalom. There's a footnote over here in the Ein Yaakov that brings from Mordechai Banet, a famous Goyin. He was the Rav, I think, of Nicholsburg or something. Anyway, he says the vort is, particularly with a pot, it makes Shalom between the water and the fire. The water would put out the fire, or the fire would evaporate the water, and instead you put a pot between them, and the two of them together are able to accomplish that. That the food is cooked. Therefore, it represents Shalom. There's a well-known English sefer on Shalom Bias that came out some 30 or 40 years ago by Aaron Feldman, called The River, the Kettle, and the Bird, where he shells the Chanas Gemara, and he explains that each of them represents a different level of Shalom. You have, let's say, two cities with a river between them. So the river helps to make that there's no actual conflict between them. They both share the river, but each of them has their own area. The river marks off their respective areas. A pot is a higher level of Shalom, where the two of them work together to do something, like a Mordechai Banet is saying over here, the pot helps the fire and the water work together in order to create a tabshil. And then the bird is the highest one of all, where a bird, its whole mitzios is that it's able to walk on the ground, and it's able to fly, and its whole mitzios is that it's made in the perfect way to be able to do both. So therefore, that represents when you have the ultimate level of Shalom, when a husband and wife, or two people, or whatever it is, become levosera. However, the Gemara says this that we said about a pot, amana panina, or the kdeira she'en ba'basar sheninu. Now, this is only talking about when the pot does not have meat in it. Because otherwise, you have a pasuk that says, uforsu kasher basir, a pasuk that the Navi Micha criticizes the rich Jews of his times who were taking advantage of the poor Jews and taking money and taxes and whatever away from them unjustly. And he describes it, uforsu kasher basir. They cut up the meat as if it was in a pot, and like meat in a pan. In other words, so we see that the metaphor of meat in a pot is actually not such a good thing, as we see that the Navi is criticizing the Jewish people for that. So now Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is going to be mentioning, with a number of the things that we just mentioned, as well as a bunch of others, there can be a negative point in them. Meaning, Maharsha says that's exactly that. The fact is, we said before, that the meaning of a dream depends on how it's interpreted. So with a bunch of the things that we said so far, we said a well or a river or a bird and so on and so forth, by default, they do mean something good. On the other hand, the fact is each one of them does have a possible negative connotation as well. Therefore, now Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is going to go on to say, you have to be sure to reinforce the good possibility with an appropriate pasuk, so that you don't wind up with an inappropriate pasuk, which is going to turn it into something bad. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi goes on to say, Haroya Nahar Bachaloim, person sees a river in a dream. Now, we just said that a river is a good thing. But it's not always a good thing. It could conceivably be something else. Yashkin v'yoymar, let him get up right away and say the pasuk that we just quoted that shows that a river represents Shalom. Hinini note aler kenar Shalom, that Hashem says that I will incline towards the Jewish people like a river of peace. Kodem shiyakadmenu pasuk acher, before he ends up encountering another pasuk, which says, Ki yovei kanahar tsar, where it compares that the enemy is going to come like a river, is going to come rushing through like a river. So in other words, if a person were to see, so in other words, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi is telling us that a river generally will mean something good, but conceivably it could be the opposite. So therefore, make sure that you don't first end up encountering the bad pasuk, because then it'll go acharapeh, and it'll go according to that. Similarly, haroyat sipur b'chaloyim, similarly, a person sees a bird in a dream, and we just said that a bird represents also something good, it represents shalom. Yashkim b'yomar, he should get up right away and say, the pasuk, it's part of office, kein yogin b'chaloyim, the pasuk that we just quoted, that Hashem will protect the Jewish people like flying birds, kodim shiakamenu, pasuk achar, before he ends up encountering another pasuk, namely, from Mishle, kitzipur, nededes minkina b'gomar, the pasuk that Shlomo says, that like a bird that has to wander away from its nest, so it is with a person who has to wander away from home, it's not a good thing. So again, in other words, a bird could conceivably mean something negative like that. So be careful to say the appropriate pasuk. The same thing, haroyek deira b'chaloyim. He sees a pot in a dream. Same thing. Yashkim b'yom Hashem tishpas shalom manu. Let him wake up and say the pasuk that we quoted from Yeshaya. Hashem, may you set up shalom for us, like the way you set a pot on the fire. Kodim shi'tadmenu. Pasuk achar shvois asir shvois. Before he ends up encountering a different pasuk in Yechezkel, where Hashem tells Yechezkel to put a pot on the fire. And Hashem goes on to tell him, you're going to put meat in the pot, and you're going to cook it, and the meat is not only going to get cooked, it's going to get burnt and scorched, and it represents how what's going to happen to the Jewish people in the siege of Yerushalayim. So again, putting a pot on the fire can presage something negative, so therefore be careful to say the pasuk. So Marashah points out, now, we said before that a pot representing shalom is when it's an empty pot. We said when it has meat in it, then it's no good. So what are we talking about over here? What do we mention? The pasuk in Yechezkel. The pasuk in Yechezkel, it makes it very clear. After Hashem tells him to put the pot on the fire, he tells him to put meat in it, and then to light the fire, and the meat will eventually get scorched. So Marashah says, here we're talking about, he sees a pot in a dream, he doesn't know whether there was meat in it. So if he knows there was meat in it, it's true. Then we said before, it represents something no good, but he doesn't know one way or the other whether there was meat in it, then let him better say the pasuk, Hashem tishpo yistralim lanu, on the supposition that maybe it was empty rather than the other way around. Okay. Another one, haroya anovim b'chaloyim, a person sees grapes in a dream. Yashkim v'yoyma kanovim b'midbar, let him get up right away and say the pasuk that Hashem says, I found the Jewish people in the desert like grapes. In other words, imagine you're wandering through the desert and all of a sudden you come across some grapes, you're going to be delighted. So the same way Hashem is saying, I was so delighted to find the Jewish people faithful to me in the midbar. So that's a good thing. Kodim shekamenu pasuk acher anavreme in veirosh. On the other hand, he could end up coming ahead. He could end up coming across the pasuk that says that the people are going to be punished. The grapes are grapes of bitterness. It's in Hazinu. Rashi mentions over there, does it refer to the Jewish people and their averus? Does it refer to the goyim and their averus? Whatever the case, we see there that grapes are being used as a symbol of something negative. Same thing. Haroya har b'chaloyim, person sees a mountain in a dream. Yashkim v'yoyim manovu alahorim raglim v'vaser. He should get up right away and say the pasuk, how beautiful on the mountains are the footsteps of the announcer, which is referring to Eliyahu HaNavi coming to announce Mashiach. Kodim shekamenu pasuk acher, before he ends up coming across another pasuk first, alahorim esta b'chivanehi, where Yirmiyah says, we have it in Achtorah of Tisha B'Av morning, on the mountains I'll raise up a wailing and a crying. So there we see that a mountain is being used in connection with something no good. Same thing, haroya shofar b'chaloyim, a person sees a shofar in a dream. Yashkim v'yoma v'hoya b'yim, or you talk about shofar gadol. You should get up right away and say the pasuk that on that day the great shofar will be blown. This week's Achtorah, actually. Kodim shi'kadmenu pasuk acher, before he ends up coming across another pasuk, tiku shofar b'giva, where the Navi warns the Jewish people, blow the shofar in Giva, is the name of a place, in other words, as an alarm to get everybody together to fight against the enemy or to run away. In fact, by the way, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah mentions, we know you have to say on Rosh Hashanah, you have to say psukim, malchus, zechronus, and shofarus, so it mentions over there, you're not allowed to say psukim that have to do with puranus, that have to do with punishment of the Jewish people, and it gives this as one of the examples over there. You can't use this pasuk, tikul shofar b'giva, because it's talking about blowing the shofar that a disaster is coming. That's Hashanah. Next, Haraya Kelev Bachalayim, person sees a dog in a dream. Yashkin v'yomar ulchol b'nei Yisrael layachat Kelev l'shayna. You should get up right away and say the pasuk that no dog will sharpen its tongue, will bark against the Jewish people by Yitzias Mitzrayim. Kodem sheikan menu pasuk acha, before he ends up coming across another pasuk, v'aklovim azei nefesh. The dogs are very brazen, and the pasuk goes on to say they're insatiable and they have tremendous taivus. So they're also, in other words, a dog can mean something good, and it can mean something, and it can mean something the other way around. Another one, Horoya Ari Bachaloim, person sees a lion in a dream. Yashkin Miyema Arya Shog Milo Yira. You should get up right away and say the pasuk, the lion has roared, who does not fear? In other words, when you hear a lion roaring, automatically everyone is fearful. And it represents when Hashem gives the Nevuah to the Navi, how could anybody not say Nevuah? So that's a good thing. Before he comes across, instead a different pasuk describing that Nebuchadnezzar is going to come against the Jewish people like a lion coming out of the bushes that he out of the tangle of bushes that he lives in. There is, by the way, there's a mimer of the Rebbe where he talks about that on a deeper level. Also, we have on the what we talk about Aryeh Shag Milo Yira is a reference to Chodesh Elul, that we have it's a time to develop Yira of the Eibishter in preparation for Rosh Hashanah. So we're saying better to do that in order, and that will forestall the necessity for the Ola Aryeh Misubchay. That forestalls the necessity for the negativity that we have during Av, when in fact the Aryeh, you have the famous Medrash that I've quoted all the time, that says that the Aryeh in Nebuchadnezzar came during the month of Aryeh and destroyed the Bismithus, which is compared to an Aryeh, and so forth. So by getting into the mentality of Aryeh Shog Milo Yura, then you forestall and you make that shouldn't be necessary. So here the Gemara is expressing the same idea in terms of dreams. Another one, Haroya Tiglachas Bachaloim, a person sees in a dream that he's getting a haircut or a shave. Yashkin v'yomer v'yigalach v'yichalef sim lo Yosef, he should get up and say the pasuk where we see for Yosef that he shaved and changed his clothes, and the next thing he knew is Mishnah Lamelech. Kodim Shikan Menu Pasuk Acher, before he comes across another pasuk with Shimshin, Kim Gulachti the Somi Meni Koichi, where he tells Delilah that if I'm shaved, then my strength is gonna leave. Another one, Haroy Be'er B'chaloyim, a person sees a well in a dream, and we said before, a well can be a symbol of shalom, but on the other hand, it could. So Yashkin Yema Be'er Mayim Chaim, let him get up and say the pasuk that mentions a well of living water, and we said before, that'll be a symbol of, it'll be a symbol of Torah, and of life, and of shalom. Kodim Sheikhan Menu Pasuk Acher, Kohoki Bayur Meimeha. Before he comes across a different pasuk that says, as a well flows forth its water. The Navi is saying, like you have a well, you constantly have more and more water flowing from it, the same way the Jewish people are constantly coming up with new kinds of avodas. So there also, a well can have a negative aspect to it as well. And the yet another one, Haroya Kona Bachaloim, a person sees a reed in a dream, like a reed, like a bamboo or whatever. Yashkin Miyoma Kona Rotsitz Lo Yishover. You should get up and Kona Rotsitz Lo Yishver. You should get up and say the pasuk from Yeshaya talking about Mashiach. He won't break a broken reed. In other words, Yeshaya is describing how Mashiach is going to be very gentle to people. You shouldn't think that Mashiach is, let's say, going to be harsh and out to punish and whatever. No, Koner Rotsu, it's even, you have a broken stick who's very weak and already broken. Lo Yishver, Mashiach won't break him further. He'll be gentle with him. So then a koneh is a good thing. Kodim sheikan menu pasuk acher, before he comes across a different pasuk, he nebatachta al meshenes a koneh arotzutz, where Rav Shakei says to the Jewish people, look at this, you're relying on a broken reed, you think you're relying on Mitzrayim to be able to help you, and they're worthless, and they're unreliable allies, so again, therefore, reed can represent something like that. So in this connection, the Gemara mentions, Tanan Abanan, Haroya Kona Bachaloim, a person sees a reed in a dream, Yitzata L'Chachma, he can look forward to that it means he's going to achieve Chachma. Kenema Knei Chachma, as the Pasuk says, acquire Chachma, and the word Knei is similar to the word Kona, which means a reed. Now Shah says, what's the connection? Just because you see a reed, therefore, automatically, I mean, it could be anything we just said before. So he says, no, now we're talking about not that you saw the actual reed, but rather that you saw the word koneh written out. So now, since the word koneh is the same letter as knei, means acquire, then therefore it teaches us, it represents that he's going to acquire chokhmah. tanim, and if he sees reeds in the plural, yitzapa levina, then he can look forward to, he's going to achieve bina, shenemo, chokin yoncha, kne bina, that same pasuk continues, in all your acquisitions, acquire bina, so there you have, kin yoncha and kne, you have multiple times kana, so when he sees kanim in the plural, well, like Marsha says, he sees the word kanim written out, then it represents that he's going to get bina. Okay, so we'll continue this tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. Yom Yom Mashiach Ge'ula, Tesvav Tevis. We know there's the expression in the expression we had it earlier in Brachas, Kol Yemei Chayecha L'Havi L'Meisa Mashiach. That on the simple meaning, of course, it means that the words Kol Yemei Chayecha come to include Yemos Mashiach, but we darshan it to mean that throughout all the days of your life, you should be working to bring the days of Mashiach. So it never talks about that's what it means. The main point in the life of every Yid and of the Jewish people in general throughout all the generations is Kol Yemei Chayecha should be Lahavi Lemos Mashiach, and especially we see this more so in our generation and in our time. So Kol Yemei Chayecha means exactly that. Every moment a person is alive, whether by day or by night, whether he's awake or asleep, and even then when a person is asleep, he's still breathing, and you have, as the Pasuk says, Kol Neshama to Haloka, Haloka, and we know the Gemara tells us it means that a person ought to be praising Hashem for every breath. So really, in other words, a person ought to be praising Hashem when he's asleep, except he can't. But the point is, the point is, unlike eating and drinking, where a person can go a period of time without it, breathing a person can't. So Kol Yemei Chayecha, Lahavi L'Meisa Mashiach, means that his chayus, every moment, even when he's sleeping, is his chayus is in bringing Mashiach. So not just when he's thinking and talking and doing things to bring Mashiach, but just the etzim of his chayus itself is Lahavi L'Meisa Mashiach, is for the purpose of bringing Mashiach. Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, so we're continuing with the halachas of Brachas Achronis. In Bar Nefashos, you have two different nuschos. You have Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Bar Nefashos Rabbis V'Chesronon. Now you have different nuschos. Al Kol Ma Shabara or Shabarasa. Is it that you created or that he created? So the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch prefers the Lashon Shabara. The Alter Rebbe's nusach, of course, as we know, is Shabarasa. What does the bracha mean? It goes like this. Bore nefashos rabbis, Hashem created many souls, v'chasroinan, Hashem created their needs, meaning Hashem created all the things that are needed for them to continue living. For example, bread and water. Then, al kol masha barasa, in addition, for everything else that you created, or shabara, that he created, which are not such essentials, they're only to enjoy, for example, fruit, lahachyas behem, to enliven, meaning to make a person feel better, for make a person feel more comfortable, for all of them, baruchei ha'olamim. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch also says the Lashon should be chai ha'olamim. The Alter Rebbe's Lashon is chei ha'olamim. Chei ha'olamim means that Hashem is the life of the world. And also, he mentions over here the Vilna Gaon held that you actually finish off with an actual bracha. The Vilna Gaon held that you actually finish off Baruch Atah Hashem Chei Ha'olamim. Our nusach is not like that. We just say Baruch Atah Baruch Chei Ha'olamim. Basically, the reason is because there's a suffix whether this is considered the kind of bracha that needs an after bracha at the end or not. So therefore, we don't say it with the bracha. But the Vilna Gaon actually held that you do say it with the bracha.